first reading this morning records for us a very significant event that happened 500 years before Jesus. And that event actually foreshadows what occurs in the 30th year of Jesus' life, and we just read that event that occurred 30 years into the life of Jesus. So the first reading foreshadows the gospel that we read, and the first reading in the gospel that we read actually illuminates exactly what we're doing at this moment in this room, in this church. All three tie together. Now, in ancient times, the Jews all lived in a very small area. We call that area today Israel or the Holy Land, but it was a small geographical area. And in that area, the Jewish faith had only one temple, only one building where they could go and worship God, pray to God, and offer sacrifices. And they did, much to our surprise, they offered sacrifices of living animals, lambs and goats and bulls and birds, which seems strange to us today, but that's what they did. So in the whole Jewish land, they had one building, one temple, where they would go and do that ritual. Now, they had to go to that one temple three times every year. They were obligated on certain feasts to go to the temple. And they did. They did that faithfully. Now, if you lived in Jerusalem, it wasn't such a difficult obligation. But if you lived, say, in the Galilee, like where Jesus lived, you had to walk to the temple, and there was a distance of 90 miles between your village in Nazareth and the temple in Jerusalem. So you had to walk 90 miles. And if you walked 7 hours a day, it would take you 3 days to get to Jerusalem to fulfill your obligation to worship. And can you imagine if you had to walk 90 miles to get here this morning to fulfill your obligation? And they would do that three times a year. And they would spend the Sabbath in Jerusalem, and then they would walk 90 miles back home three times a year. So that was quite extraordinary. Now, what would they do on those Sabbaths that were not part of the obligatory worship in Jerusalem? Well, in their little villages, they would still observe this Sabbath they would build a little room or even a building. And on the Sabbath, they would gather. They wouldn't offer sacrifice, but they would do this. They would gather, and they would read the scriptures. They would unfold the scrolls and read the scriptures. And then the teacher or the rabbi would explain to them what they were doing, what they meant. That was all based on the episode that we read in the first reading. The Jewish people were invaded 500 years before Jesus by the Babylonians, who destroyed Jerusalem and ripped down the temple stone by stone by stone. And not only did they destroy everything in Jerusalem, they took all of the people and put them in exile in Babylonia. And they were there for three generations. And so for three generations, Jewish people did not have their temple. And they really didn't have their synagogues because they were in a foreign land that didn't permit them. And all they had was their parents or grandparents telling them what they remembered about Jerusalem and what they remembered about the temple. And what they remembered was in the sacred scrolls, the scriptures, the Bible, the Torah. And after three generations, of course, it all became very foggy and unclear. But after three generations, the Babylonians let them go back and rebuild Jerusalem. And they went back and they found it in ruins. And they looked around, they said, this doesn't look anything like our great-grandparents told us Jerusalem would look like. And when they describe that beautiful temple, we just see stones laying around on the ground. This is terrible. And their priest, Ezra, said, we have to do something about this. So he says to everyone, we're going to gather in that great big open space in front of the water tower, which is in ruins. And we're going to gather there on a Sabbath, sit down on the ground. And then he came out, and he had built himself a wooden platform. He was raised above the people, and he carried the scroll, the Torah, that they had forgotten what was in it. And he lifted it up and showed all the people and had a profound respect. All the people stood up from the ground. Does this sound familiar? Just at the very looking at the scroll, the word of God, they stood up. And he said, God be with you. And they said, amen, amen. And then they sat down and he read the scroll. And after he read the scroll, he explained to them what the scroll meant. And they were so moved, because they hadn't heard this for so long, they started crying. And he said, don't cry, rejoice. This is the word of God. So after they built up the Holy Land, they started putting the synagogue, and they imitated Ezra. And in fact, the gospel is 500 years after Ezra did that, it's being reenacted in Nazareth in a synagogue, and the teacher comes in and the teacher opens the scroll. They all stand up, then they sit down, and the teacher reads the scroll, and then he explains the scroll. And in this case, it is Jesus who's reading the scroll, and it's Jesus who's explaining the scroll. And the scroll that he read from was a prophecy from Isaiah about the coming Messiah, the anointed one, the Christos. And Isaiah said, when this man comes, he will be anointed and he will bring glad tidings to the poor. He's going to heal the world. He's going to bring food to the poor, healing to the sick, freedom to those who are captive. It was beautiful. And Jesus read that prophecy. And then Jesus put the scroll down and he spoke a sentence that had never been spoken before. He looked at the people, and when he was supposed to explain the reading, he said simply one thing. Today, this scripture, this prophecy is fulfilled. I am the anointed one. And you can imagine the shock of the people. How do they react? Tune in next Sunday and you'll find out. But the point is this. What are we doing right now? The same thing. I took the gospel book, beautiful book. I raised it up, you stood up. I climbed the bima, wood platform. You sat down. I asked God to bless you. And then I read, and now I'm explaining. We are doing something that's centuries old. Centuries old. Jewish and Christian. That's the whole first part of our Mass. But then as Christians, we have a second part of the Mass. Second part of worship. And it's the Last Supper. And it's Jesus affirming that he is the anointed one. So, we are worshiping here at Sacred Heart in Haworth, very humbly, very beautifully, but very historically. And it's the same God, the same presence, the same anointed one, the same Jesus that we've read about. We are blessed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.